This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Happy Friday. This fall, Matt Waller, the dean of the Sam M. Walton Business College at the University of Arkansas, will lead a course for students enrolled in the U of A Honors College. The class examines the history of business innovation in Arkansas and is part of the Honors College Signature Seminar Series. In March, he came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk to us about the course. Waller says there is a rich history of innovation here, but also a vibrant present.
There is so much going on here in terms of innovation. And the innovation that's occurred here has affected not only, you know, the retail and consumer products and supply chain industries, but it's affected many other industries throughout the world. And that's something I've paid attention to over the past 24 years.
What are some of the other industries that have been affected?
So I'll give you an example. Walmart, well, first of all, Walmart's idea of sharing sales data, which and also inventory data and many other types of data with their suppliers. The original idea behind it was that suppliers could forecast better and do a better job of serving the retailer. And here's a simple example. A supplier shipping product into a distribution center of a retailer, they're receiving orders from the retailer, and they know what they've shipped in, but they really don't know what's going on in the stores. So let's suppose that demand spikes at all the stores for a particular product that the supplier is providing. It could take quite a while before the supplier is aware of that without sharing data, because you have to deplete inventory in the store. Mm-hmm. And then as the store is depleting inventory, it starts ordering on the distribution centers. The inventory starts depleting in the distribution centers. Eventually, you hit a reorder point and orders are placed on the supplier. But that gap could be quite long, sometimes a month, sometimes 2 months.
And you may have missed the window?
You may have missed it. So now you haven't produced enough to meet demand. You have stockouts. When there's stockouts, you know, shoppers don't like stockouts. Sometimes they'll switch retailers. Sometimes they'll switch brands. And if they switch retailers, even if it's just temporarily, it's not good for the economy. You're wasting resources. On the other hand, if demand slows way down, mm-hmm. right, again, they don't know about it until it's like, why isn't the retailer placing orders? So they wind up with too much inventory. They produce too much. So either have stockouts or too much inventory, and wasted transportation. So the consumer is worse off, the retailer's worse off, and the supplier's worse off. And Sam Walton and his team had the idea, gosh, if we share point-of-sale data, that is how much product is actually moving in the stores on a daily basis, plus how much inventory we have and other types of variables, then suppliers can do a better job of making decisions, and we'll all be better off. Costs will be lower, and product will be in stock. That was the original idea. But I want to mention that this course isn't just about Walmart. It's really about Arkansas business. Because what we see, there's stories like this about Tyson mm-hmm. and J.B. Hunt and Stevens. And so just as an example, yeah, we have the largest, in Arkansas, we have the largest retailer in the world. We have the largest protein producer in the world, Tyson. We have one of the largest and most innovative transportation providers and logistics providers in the world, and J.B. Hunt. But Arkansas also has the largest investment bank outside of Wall Street, Stevens Inc. It's the largest investment bank outside Wall Street. And there's an important point here that people don't realize, and that is Stevens took J.B. Hunt public in 1970.
Right.
Stevens took Walmart public in 1970. Stevens took J.B. Hunt public in 1983. But I believe, and I don't have any proof of this, but my opinion is that both of them would have had trouble going public on Wall Street without Stevens. And here's a simple reason why. Think about why did Walmart by 1970 start needing capital? Well, because of their strategy. Their strategy was to use distribution centers, which had never been done before on a large-scale basis in retail, use distribution centers to serve stores. And the purpose of it was to reduce transportation costs, because instead of having small shipments go into a store from all these different, you know, suppliers, you wind up having consolidated truckloads going to the DC. They're homogeneous truckloads of one product, say Bounty paper towels, for example. They're going to the DC. But then when they ship from the DC to the stores, they have full truckloads of a mixture. You know, you have Bounty products, you have Tide, you have products from all different companies going to a store. So the point is, you've got full truckloads the whole way, and it makes it extremely efficient. It also, the distribution center is closer to the stores, so if demand picks up in the store, they can place an order on the DC, and they've got just a couple days to get the product. Whereas if they were ordering directly from the factory, from the store,
it could take
a couple of weeks,
right,
potentially.
And when you say DC, that's the distribution center.
Yeah, distribution center.
So is this a random roll of the dice that you would have someone like Sam Walton, who's looking beyond, and you have Jack and Whit Stevens, who are building this bank? Is it completely random, and they all sort of end up in this same small state? Or does something else a little bit exist that it's not just random?
I really think it isn't random. Again, these companies needed – I mean, Stevens has taken so many companies in Arkansas public and helped them in other ways financially. Having access to capital is critical for business development. People don't understand how critical that is, actually. So having Stevens in Arkansas has given Arkansas an advantage. But back to your question about the visionary leaders that we've had, I mean, right? Mm-hmm. Walton, Tyson, Hunt, these were visionary leaders. And Jack and Whit Stevens, visionary leaders. And there's many others. Dillard's and Axiom had them, ABF, American Freightways, Sheridan Garrison, which is now FedEx Freight, which is the largest LTL carrier, less than truckload carrier in the United States. Think about that. We've got J.B. Hunt, one of the most innovative logistics providers. We have ABF, one of the top LTL providers, and we have FedEx Freight, which is from Harrison. It was Arkansas Freightways, and it was American Freightways, now it's FedEx Freight. That's the largest LTL carrier in the United States. I don't think it is random. Access to capital is very important. Stevens has provided that. But I actually think sometimes scarcity, right? Mm. Scarcity creates innovation. If you look at Hong Kong, Hong Kong's a rock. It has no natural resources. And yet, by 1980, the wealth of Hong Kong was orders of magnitude higher than all of the wealth of China, and it's just a rock. But because it was a rock, it had to be very innovative. It had a lot of freedom, too. Right. And I think Arkansas, we're landlocked. We don't have access to the ocean. There's a lot of natural resources that we really don't have. And, people will say, gosh, all these transportation providers cropped up in Arkansas, they must have good transportation. Actually, until recently, we didn't even have interstates through the state.
Yeah, J.B. Hunt was going out on Highway 71 for crying out loud. Yeah.
So it really wasn't even the infrastructure. But they had vision, and they had to do something to compete. And, Sam Walton's idea, of course, of serving rural community, which wasn't being served, so he saw market need, using distribution centers, which made for efficiency, because he really thought logistics and supply chain were important, and then collaborating with suppliers. These were innovative ideas, I think, that were necessary for success. I want to take J.B. Hunt is an example. J.B. Hunt was in a business, right? They were in truckload. Truckload, sometimes it's called irregular route. And what it means is you're hired to take a product from a truckload from point A to point B. It may not be a full truckload, but it's truckload point A to point B. And when you get to point B, you try to find another load. And so you wind up going all over the country. Sometimes people aren't back for a month. It's almost a perfectly competitive business, meaning there isn't any profit in it because anyone can get into the business. The barriers to entry are low. There's no customer switching costs. There's no economies of scale, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, J.B. Hunt is a big company and extremely profitable. What happened? Well, what they did was they tried J.B. Hunt. One of his strengths was he would try lots and lots of different things. Some would work and some wouldn't, but he kept trying new things. But eventually, some of the things he tried, like intermodal,
right,
which is where, you know, you take a truck and you bring it to the rail yard and you take the container off of the back of off the chassis off the truck, put it on a rail car, and take it across the country, and then it's picked up again for delivery with a truck. That's so much more efficient than sending a truck across the country.
And it's a standard term now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's better for the drivers. They get home more often on time. And but J.B. Hunt really realized that, and I won't go into all the innovations, but it took lots of innovations to make that work. Intermodal had been around a long time, but making it feasible for most companies was the trick. So it's another innovation, and now other carriers are trying to copy what J.B. Hunt's doing there, but it's going to take a long time for anyone to catch up.
It's incredible. I mean, we, those of us who live in Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, don't know as much as we should. Do people in, I don't know, Peoria or Flagstaff, do they know?
I don't think they do. I mean, when you really look at, and I mean, I've just scratched the surface. There's a lot of other innovative companies here in Arkansas. But I don't think people outside of Arkansas know about it. I don't think we've done a good job of communicating it to the rest of the world. But I think that that's part of the reason I wanted to teach this course. I thought, at the very least, our students should be aware of what's going on. And we're also going to talk about theoretical reasons why this happened.
Oh, good.
Right? You know, what is the theory that would predict this to occur, both from, you know, maybe economic theory and also from management theory. And I'm going to have some other professors helping me with that as well. But you look at Central Little Rock, Central Arkansas and Little Rock, again, there's a whole lot of entrepreneurial activity going on there. And it seems there's a number of companies that seem to really be taking. But I think there's one big opportunity here for us in Arkansas that could easily be overlooked. Northwest Arkansas has a number of startups right now. One example would be Good Eats.
Good Eats.
It's in Fayetteville.
Okay.
Their headquarters is on Dixon Street.
Okay.
And they make, you know, like, if you want to have potatoes, instant potatoes, you take instant potatoes, you mix it with water, you cook it. They have something just like that, but say with cauliflower, right? Which
okay.
could be better for you depending on what.
Sure, of course. Your arteries are. And, right, yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So they've come out with a whole line of products like this. Why? Because Northwest Arkansas has a tremendous concentration of retail and consumer goods expertise.
So this can be exponential.
Absolutely.
Good Eats might not have been here if these other entities weren't here or hadn't come before.
I don't think they would be. They wouldn't be. And there's a lot of other companies. Another interesting example of, you think about this, Little Rock has a tremendous healthcare industry. You know, a tremendous research medical school. Northwest Arkansas has a tremendous consumer goods retail expertise. Combine those, right? You have consumer health care. This is something that's an opportunity that we have not fully taken advantage of. The only example I think of this is Now Diagnostics that I'm aware of. I don't know if you've heard of them.
No.
Now Diagnostics.
I'm just going to bring you in every week to give me story ideas. Go ahead.
Now Diagnostics has these cartridges where you can, like, check for
yes.
pregnancy or certain kinds of illnesses. And their vision is that in the long run, you know, if you pick up your kid from school and they're sick, you could go to Walmart or wherever and buy some of these cartridges and say, okay, well, they don't have strep, they don't have the flu, you know, it's just a cold mm-hmm. or something. But think of the implication of that from a cost perspective
or
for the medical industry.
For busy parents or single parents who
Absolutely.
Don't have time to, or really would not rather have to go to the clinic to find out you
yes.
just have a cold.
And one of the things we're doing in the Walton College is we're collaborating much more with UAMS now, because there's a big opportunity for business and medicine. You know, the medical industry is in Little Rock. The consumer goods industry is in Northwest Arkansas. Bring them together. We have something you can't find anywhere in the world.
All right. I have one last question that has nothing to do with your class. But you're talking about supply chain. A couple weeks ago, I needed buttermilk for a recipe. I went to two separate grocery stores. They're never out of buttermilk. They were both out of buttermilk on this Sunday afternoon, and I'm thinking, how can that happen? I mean, is there any – can people see trends? I mean, were we all of a sudden, all of us wanting to make cornbread or something? Right. I mean, what can cause that?
It is possible, but I'll give you two ways of looking at it. If you flip a coin, you know, 20 times, the probability of getting heads every time is low.
Right.
But it's possible, and it happens.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that's one thing that could have happened. It could have been a random thing. But I remember when I moved here, I guess it was a few years after I'd been here. It was probably 1998. I met someone who lives in Rogers who has a really big house, and he invited my wife and I to a Christmas party, and he has this huge Christmas tree in his foyer. I couldn't figure out how he got it through the door, but he wrapped every branch with these lights, you know, white lights, mm-hmm. every branch. And I immediately thought he caused some stockout. So I said to him, I said, how did you buy enough lights for this tree? He said, well, we waited too long, and we went to every store in Northwest Arkansas and bought all their lights.
So someone might have been some event going on that needed all the buttermilk.
It's possible.
I love that you went to a Christmas party and you were thinking about a stock out.
Yeah. But this is sort of a summary of some of the topics in my course. So that's why I'm excited about it. And I think it'll be good for our students to be aware of what's going on. So being able to take the theory they're learning in the courses and connect it to what's actually happened. But the other things they're going to get to do is they're going to get to meet these people. I'm going to have some of the founders of these companies come in and speak to our students. And even if they're not the founders, people that were involved in a big way. And then we'll have groups of students go to dinner with them and me. So we'll take groups, making sure that all the students are able to do this, so the students can actually network with these people and meet with them.
Matt Waller is the dean of the Sam M. Walton Business College at the University of Arkansas. And this fall, he'll lead a course for students enrolled in the U of A Honors College about business innovation in Arkansas. Our conversation that we just heard first aired in March.